This is the oral history project for Frenchwood. It's the 4th of September, and I am interviewing today
Mr. Desai.
Can you give me your full name?
Mohammed Hashim Desai, 29 Frenchwood Street, Preston. And I was the first generation of Indian Asian to arrive into UK. I was very young. At very young age, I came to UK. I could recall myself that in 1957, I appeared into inter-commerce examination in India, that is, in our Gujarat state, Surat district. I used to study accountancy and wanted to become BCom. So I had 2 years in education in the university in those days. And I set my exam, and it just happens that I saw some friends thinking to go to abroad to UK, and I got all the information from them. And I spoke to my dad and my parents, and my parents supported me. Yes, if you think your future is a bit better, you can go and travel to abroad, to England. Now, there was always question of money comes in first, how you are going to get airfare, this, that, the other, so much money required. My father was a poor farmer, but he was very well respected and very good elderly person in our town. I'm from Tarkeshwar village, which is 40 miles away from Surat, the city. And
where is that in India?
In India, it's Gujarat state. And he was well respected, and he was doing a lot of social work, and he was 6 foot tall, well built, healthy person. He was doing agriculture, but on top of it, his motive was to help people, to do social work for people, to help community, and he was succeeded doing that, religiously and socially as well. So he was very likable person, and he said, if this is your wish, I spoke to him that I want to, a few of my friends intending to go to UK, shall I join them? And he says, he had some friends, and he said, I know in England there is a lot of cold weather, and I wonder whether you will be survived to that cold weather. Someone was talking to him that during winter time, the water in the household get freezed up. And I said to him, yeah, I heard so. But then he changed his mind and he told me one beautiful answer. He says, in UK, in England, people are living there, isn't it? It's a habitable country. People are living there. So if they can survive, you can also be survived. It's simple as that. But the great philosophy behind is that, look, whatever circumstances you go into it, it may be little hurdle here and there, with obstacles in your life, future life, and you have to overcome that. Like cold weather, job and unemployment, job, manual work, whatever. So I used to speak English from home, you know, because I was had 2 years in college. So I made my arrangements, and I had my documents, valid documents to travel to UK, and my parents managed to get a loan for myself to travel to UK. And that's how it all started.
So what year was this?
It was in 1957.
And how old were
you? I was only 21 years old. I was only 21 years old, young man. And I was the first son of seven children. I had four sisters and three brothers. But I was the first son. There were two my sisters which were elder than me. And my parents supported me. So on 10th of June 1957, we landed to Heathrow Airport. I had some information that I had a friend in Preston from India, and I had one or two correspondence with him, and he sent me some information how to arrive England and then to Preston, how to travel to Preston. So he passed me all this information
in a letter.
So I was very helpful. It was very good of him to furnish me all this information. So 10th of June 1957, I arrived with two of my friends. And we landed at Heathrow. We never had woolen clothes, or one cardigan we had, and we came to Heathrow, and there was immigration officer were so nice and very helpful. And they always say, sir, and we were just excited, and we thought, oh, look at this, the treatment they are giving you. So we came and we had information that from Heathrow we have to go to Victoria Coach Station. And from Victoria Coach Station we have to go to Euston Railway Station to reach to Preston. So that's how it was. And exactly we did that. Unfortunately, there was a little hitch that we only had £1.10 money with us. We were short of money. There was no cash with us. So, but in those days, transport, living standard was very cheap, not considering this day and age, you know, but it was very good. So £10 was worth £10 in those days. And it put me to Preston. I reached to Preston without any problem. And we had a taxi, and we came to our friend, and he said, oh dear, you are three of you coming here. And they were sharing a room in Clarendon Street. That's off Manchester Road, off Oxford Street. So there we are with the friends again. And we were so happy that they invited us, and we were so happy. And now the basic thing is food to serve, eating facilities, living facilities and all that. We were so strange, so he took us down few places and shops, and those days there were so many corner shops. In Hudson Street there was a shop, and we used to go there, and we used to buy bread and all household requirements, you know. And the lady at the counter, it was a family business, very helpful. And I recall an old lady used to run a shop on Manchester Road. Now in those days, Sunday being a holidays, and it was in those days considerable as a religious day, I used to hear bell ringing from church in Fishergate, you know, Church Street, and I could hear it in my bedroom. It was so loud, so I could recall that it was a churchgoer people in England in those days. And shops were closed, so we were so upset, you know. If we don't look after our kitchen, we were without bread. So that old lady used to open the shop, and she kept a few bread for us. And she says, we used to ring her door, and though she is closed, she will open the door, and she says, you are after bread? I said, yeah, yes ma'am. And she will slice two bread for us. It was lovely, wonderful.
Do you remember her name?
I couldn't remember her. No. I couldn't remember her. But she was very helpful. And she always used to speak and welcome us and help us, like where you are from and all this, you know. Now, Preston, I have always, it's now 50 years exactly. I arrived into this country exactly 50 years ago. And there was so much change I find in Preston, and I think it's all for the better, for the Prestonian, you know. I love Preston, I'm glad I came to Preston, I settled down in Preston, I have a continuous job since within 2 weeks I found job in textile industry. I could recall, I was looking for a job. We were hunting job by looking at big chimneys, you know. In Victoria Street, and where the what street do you call it? What road? Plungington Road, before Plungington. There was a textile factory. It was dinner time when I reached there with my friend. And there were a couple of young lads playing football during lunch hour. And I was there just looking at them, you know. And it was a street, and they were playing during lunch hour. And I said to them, no, he was a foreman in the spinning mill. And he says, are you looking for a job? I said, yes. He says, come with me. And he took me down to the manager, and he offered me a job. Just like that, he offered me a job. And though the wages was very poor, it was 45 or 48 hours a week in those days. You have to work 48 hours a week.
And what were you paid? What was your first wage?
I used to get wages £5.50 in those days. It was a going rate, you know. And I had to do manual job, fetch yarn from other department, come into big basket, and we used to drag it and supply to this machinist. And put all these spindles and all that, you know, and they, it's ready for them to put it in the spinning mill, spinning machines, you know. So there it was. I was in the business. I was so happy and glad that I found a job within 2 weeks. And though so many of my friends were struggling, but it was just, I was fortunate myself that I found the job. It wasn't a brilliant wages considering this day, but it was well enough to keep me survive and pay my board and lodging and all that, you know. So it was a remarkable achievement for me. And we used to share house in Clarendon Street, number 8 Clarendon Street. You might remember that in those days it was coal fire chimneys, and carpets and all that, you know. But we had linos and cushion linos on the floor, and it was cold and miserable, and all from houses it was a smokeless coal. So coal fire coming from the chimney, you can see the smoke coming out, and it was a very unhealthy pollution coming out, you know. And but it's nothing you can do about it. And then eventually, so eventually government introduced this smokeless coal into smokeless coal, and we have been given a little grant to change our fireplaces, and it was very good. But it was a hard job. I regret to say that how women cope every day to lit the fires in those days, you know. It was a hard time to lit a fire, you know. And anyway, we survived it. We had a bit of a problem about being a Muslim. We had a problem about halal meat and poultry. And some of our friends found out that down crossing Blackpool Road, there is a Haslam Park over Aston. And there, across the other end of Haslam Park, there is a farmer living there. And he sells fresh chickens, live chickens. So we, in cold weather, freezing weather, we used to travel there by bus and then walk through Haslam Park and to his farm. And he was a very kind old man in those days, Wellington boots and his, what do you call, overall, yeah. Farmer's overall.
Yeah.
And he had his cap on. And I said, "Hello, sir, good morning." And he said, "Oh, come on, lads." So he says, we tell him, "Look, we want a few chickens." And says, okay, don't worry. Sit down near fire, it's cold weather. And he used to put old kettle, big kettle. It was boiling always on the gas cooker. It was a coal fire cooker. And he used to serve us tea as well, kind old man, you know. And we used to slaughter one or two chickens and used to clean there, and then we used to bring home and cook it, you know. And it was a very good experience. And to go through Haslam Park and to his field, it wasn't a joke, you know. It was a very horrible, you know, farmer is farmer, animals, chickens, running around, cows, goats, this, that, the other, you know. So it was all muggy and soggy things, you know. But it was a very good experience. And we came and we used to enjoy that meat, you know. Also, regarding, I like Evanam area, I like Frenchwood area very much. One reason is that it's very close to the town center. It has very close to the railway station. It is very close to the bus station. So all the amenities were on a walking distance.
Yeah.
So, and schools very close from where I used to live. So it was very nice. It fits my way of life. And I used to enjoy it. From textile mill, we went to work with Charlie Stewart textile mill. It was also a weaving and spinning mill.
How long did you work at the textile mill in Preston?
Oh, all around 23, 25 years in textile mills. But first, I had one or two changes during that 25 years. First, as I said, I went into Gordon Street, it is off Plungington Road somewhere. And then some of my friends told me there is a job in Accrington. So we went to Accrington, and they said, okay, we will train you for to being weaver. Weaving. So I say, oh yeah, well, very good. Now to go to Accrington is a very hard job for us. We never knew where Accrington is. So we went to Blackburn, and from Blackburn we used to catch bus. It was a difficulty to find a board and lodging in Accrington. So we used to live in Accrington There was a Polish man who had a big house there, and in the freezing cold weather, he gave us a room to sleep and to share a kitchen. But by God, it was a very, very cold days and very hard job. And we used to travel from Accrington, Blackburn to Accrington.
When was this?
It was in 1958.
Okay, so you only had a year in Preston at the first
job? All along I was in Preston.
Yeah. And then in 58 you went to work in Accrington?
Accrington. I was there for a few weeks. We found digs there in Accrington, and it was okay. But there again, the textile mill is right in the no man's land, and Accrington is Haslingden. It was in the middle of Accrington and Haslingden. So we used to go through the passage, narrow lane road, you know. And it, as I said, it was 48 hours in those days. So you have to get up in the morning at 6:30, 7 o'clock. And no, we have to start work at 7:30. We have it, in those days it was a clock system. As soon as you go and enter, you have to clock the card. So it print out what time you reported to work. So this was it. And but we didn't like Accrington, Haslingden, and so we moved back to Preston. And short while I was unemployed, and then I went. One of my friend was in London, and he offered me, he said, come down to London and you will have a job in London. So in the hope of job again, I went to London. I lived in Brick Lane, East London, Commercial Road, and I found a job next door where I was boarding, you know. And it was a Paris Vogue. They used to manufacture skirts, ladies' skirts. And it was a flock printing. And I had to do this. There was a foreman who used to do print on the skirt. In those days, it was maxi skirt sort of thing, you know, long traditional, women used to wear long traditional maxi skirt. And those maxi skirt, he used to print it, and then I used to put flock on it, you know. And it sticks itself, so it will be a beautiful design and what do you call flowers and wheel and all this, you know. It was a good experience, but I didn't like London living standard. So after 12 weeks or 3 months, I came back to Preston, and I had information that there is a textile firm in Preston who is employing a lot of workers. And they have a job ready for you. So I came back to Preston. And there I stuck in with Coaters. Coaters. There in 1959 I started work in Coaters until 1980 when it shut down. I was the last person to come when they closed the place. I was there for 22, 23 years. And we had considering not fantastic but reasonable severance pay. I was a shop steward in one of the our department, and we had very mixed workers between us, English, Asian, plus Polish. There were, in early days, there were Italian immigrants also working in quarters with us. So it was a mixed community from that early days, you know, in 59. And we get on well, very well. And foremen there and workers were very friendly. We were always... our foreman who used to come from Garstang, Mr. George Brown, his name was. And he was an army, ex-army man. And he was a member of Dramatic Society. He was 6 foot tall, very handsomely strong man, strongly built. And he was looking after us very well. And he was men of what you call social integration, you know. And he helped us. He used to organize cricket. He knew we Asian love cricket, and he used to love cricket. So he started departmental competition in quarters just to get friendly atmosphere. And this is it. So he was a brilliant man. But one night he came, in those days there wasn't like now NHS. In those days there was a mobile one used to come for chest x-rays, and they used to come once a year to our factory quarters in Red Scar, Long Ridge. And we used to go and have our x-ray ready to chest x-ray. This foreman, he had chest x-rays. He was a pipe smoker. And after a week, the result come out, and he distributed to all of us and says, your result is quite okay, nothing to see doctor or no need to worry or anything. Now this foreman, Mr. George Brown, he had this result of his own chest x-rays, and he sat down in his office, he put his arm on his head and closed his eyes and never moved, because his result told him to see his doctor. And he was so frightened. On the very first night, it was night shift, and on that night he was motionless. He was drowned. He was totally lost his friendliness and his habit of talking and walking just like a major general in the department was gone. Within 15 days, he passed away. He had heart cancer. He had lung cancer. Within 15 days, he passed away. Such a healthy young man. Not young man, he was such a healthy middle-aged man. And he passed away. But he was a very nice fellow. And we got on well with him. And he used to help us in every way. And there was another foreman in his absence, Mr. George Manley. He used to live off Ribbleton Lane, Ribbleton, between Gemmell Lane and Ribbleton. He was very nice also. I don't know where he is now. He must have passed away or something. Anyway, they were very helpful. During my stay in Preston 50 years, I never had a problem. I was a well-behaved person, and so is my wife, and so is my four children. But never had any problem. Outside, other part of Preston says, Avenham is a dull area, it's a place of junkies and druggists, this, that, the other. But we never had problem. If you look after yourself, if you behave yourself in an honorable way, if you behave yourself in a friendly way, if you behave in a friendly way to your neighbors and friends, then you will have no problem. Preston in those days was very old city, very old town, smoke coming out through chimneys, towns. It was, in those days there was only black and white television. And there was no color television, and eventually we managed to save some money and we bought television as well, you know. And
tell me about where you lived. Once you'd started at Courtauld's, tell me about where you lived in Preston.
I lived in Clarendon Street all along until 61 when I married her and she came to Preston. So for 6 months or 1 year we lived with a family, Asian family, to share a house. Because we couldn't afford to buy a house. And then It was in number 8 Frenchwood Street. We used to live there. We were fresh, newly married. So our marriage was arranged by our parents. She was in Pakistan.
Proxy marriage.
It was a proxy marriage.
So you'd never seen each other?
I saw her when I was traveling to UK. I came to Karachi airport and then I went to her house for a day or two. So, because I had to catch a flight for the following day. So I had that break at Karachi airport. So I went down to see her parents was a custom officer in Karachi. He was originally, they are Desais as well. They are related to us, my family. Both families are related to each other. My father-in-law was a custom officer in Bombay. And when there was 1947, there was a partition, divided India into Pakistan and India. He emigrated to Pakistan and there he lived. So he was given the same position in Pakistan, Karachi. Karachi, Pakistan, you know. So he was a custom officer. He bailed me out for temporary, short time. And I met her there. That was a short, brief moment of seeing her, you know. And he saw me. So we liked each other. And eventually, my parents and her parents arranged this marriage, that we should get together and we should get married. And my parents proposed a letter to her parents, and that's how it went on. So it was until 61 she came down, you know. We used to live in, for 1 year or 10 months, we lived in a lodging. Then I was thinking to, there was a house of for sale number 16. So the price was only £800. Considering today is nothing. So we bought that house. We bought that house and we moved there.
Describe it. Describe the
house. It was a two-bedroom house with kitchen downstairs. It's a Frenchwood Street is a terrace houses. That number 16 was two rooms plus kitchen and three bedroom upstairs and a bathroom. It has a passage and a very good. It was in a very good condition, and we lived there until we moved to this number 29 in 1980. My four sons born there, and we used to live there. My four sons born there went to Parish Church School in Parish Church School in Avenham Lane, and they used to go to
Stoney Gate
Children's Nursery. They used to go to this Parish Church School, and it was nice. Never had any problem. My sons, I had luckily four sons. They are very well behaved. They are very happy. They all had a good education. Her mother look after them very well. She is so strict in education. She had to tell, get the books, read the books, switch off television, read the books, do your homework. She is like a militant in the house. You have to nail down. This is the problem in today's age, you know. You can't tell discipline to the children. Now in those days, she says, switch off television, read your homework. Do your homework, read your books. So this is it. I have all three sons living in Preston, still in Avenham Lane. One is married in Leicester, and he's an accountant in Leicester. managing his father-in-law's pita bread business. So he is happy there. And the other three are in Preston. They are very happy. They have their own houses. They have their own wife. And they got married and settled down. They all have three or four, five children. And they are very happy. I'm a very happy man. Now, there is so much hoo-ha, so much argument about arranged marriage, this, that, the other. Right? It's true. It has its ups and downs. It has its advantage, disadvantage. But no, with this modern days, and we have changed our parents and first generation of immigrants, we have changed our attitude as well towards our son's marriage and daughter's marriage. We give them plenty of freedom. Boys and girls get together, they see each other.
Did you allow your sons to yeah. choose?
Yes, yeah, so yeah, yeah. We are allowing our sons, like from friends, we found out that there is a nice girl, well-behaved, educated girl. She is beautiful and she is very good family. She belongs to a very good family. So, from friends we found out, and then he told us this reputation and says, this girl is good. So we had discussion with our son, okay, look, we have been told by this friend that there is a girl in this family, she looks beautiful, and if you agree, we go down, we talk to them, and then we start building the bridges from there. So my sons, they always respect us. They were so well behaved, and they had everything left on to us to sort out this problem. So they told us, whatever you say. So we go to girl's house, see their family over a cup of tea and have a snack. And we allow half an hour or more into a separate room for boy and girl to sit down and talk it over about their hobby, education, their like, likes or dislikeness, this, that, the other. It's a routine thing, and still we are adopting the same formula, and it's in the better's interest. You choose woman. We traditionally believe that you choose a girl or a boy into your family, but you want to see their background as well. You want to see how their family is. If their family's behavior is good, their parents are friendly, hospitable, and then it can work well, you understand? Yeah. So this is it. So there you are. My four sons are very happy. Their wife respect us. They come down here on all parties, and they come down here. I have one son living with me. He is the youngest in four, and he is living with, he has a beautiful wife, and she is so kind. She helps us. I'm 72. She is 70 and...
No, I mean 69.
69, well, not so far off. October she will be in 70.
No, 69.
69, oh, I'm wrong again. You see, this is, you can tell she is the boss. So, this is it. So, now looking at Preston, I'm a proud Preston man. I like Preston. Preston has been developed so much, and particularly Preston local authority has put so much money into Evenham Ward and Evenham Lane, and they have transformed this ward into a beautiful, but there you are, there are always some bad apples in the family, there are always bad apples in the community. And they are ruining this area. They are giving bad name to this area. We have beautiful mosque not so far from my back door, you know, and it's 5 minutes walk. Beautiful mosque. We have a Catholic school there. Now we get on well. So we had, we organized in early days, we organized Preston Muslim Society, and to perform our religious activities and give our children religious education. So I was chairman and founding member of the society. And I was chairman for 10 years, and then I was at the age of 66, I gave, make way for youngsters to go through. But we built it, we managed to found donations from other countries, and we built a beautiful mosque, and we are inviting so many college and students from university, college, schools. They come down to visit our mosque, how we perform salat, namaz, this, that, the other, how we perform our religious activities. People have misconception about Islam. It's not that, it's the rotten apple that spoils the show for everyone. It's the bad people, bad character. They had their way and they are blaming the whole community. Never had problem in Preston. We never had problem in Preston. Still, I used to go, to this day and age, I regularly go to Harris Library to read newspaper, and reading is my hobby. I like to read, and I'm quite happy.
That's one thing I wanted to ask you about. Obviously, work played a big part in your life, and your married life. What about your hobbies and interests outside? Do you have any interests as well as reading? Is there anything else you like to do?
Yeah, I like to involve in community jobs. I like to help people. If someone knocks the door and says, "This, I need help. I need a house. I need a room to acquire or something, lodging," I will help them as soon as.
Hello.
Is my son.
How are you?
Steve.
He's a total Prestonian, you know. We all are proud of Preston. I share community job. I help. I'm a member of Mr. Amirat, who is heading for Mushaira and collection and all that. I'm involved in madrasas and religious schools as well, you know. We are quite happy.
When court hall shut down, did you manage to find work after that?
Yeah, I was one of the luckiest person. When court hall shut down, they gave us 3 months notice that we will be closing on such and such date. So I straight away hunting for the job. On my first interview, I applied for British Nuclear Fuel in Solvik. I applied and they called me for interview. And I was appointed there as a helping hand. There is a big three-story building for chemist people. They are analyzing uranium, water, all this pollution, this, that, the other. So I used to help them and to bringing chemicals from the stores, gas cylinders, and it was a very. I worked there for another 18 years until I retired. And I had only weekend off. As soon as I finished quarters on 27th of February, and I was in the job on 29th, I think, or something like that. Yeah, so I was there. Now in BNFL, it's a massive place. It's like a small town, Solvik. It's a massive place. Oh, It is one of the latest and modern industry. It has its up and down, but I was first Asian to be working with all intellectual of Britain, all scientists. They are SSO and ASO, scientific officers, and I had to work with them, and though they were very nice to me, very friendly, they will call me my first name and help me, and we used to have chat during office working hours, and there was all sorts of facilities. They look after their workers, BNFL. Quotas didn't look after their workers. They never provide as good facilities. Being a chemical, it's a part of a chemical plant was quotas also, because yarn produced from chemical. But they never gave us good facilities. There wasn't enough facilities for shower because there was so much fume and all this, you know, but there were no facilities. But there again, that was old days, you know, where all this modern instrument, modern technology wasn't that developed. But BNFL is a thriving industry, and it has a big future, and I was honored and happy to work there, you know. And in BNFL, you had to retire at the age of 60. So I had to retire at the age of 60, and they gave me handsome golden handshake, and I was very happy, well respected. I used to work with the chemist in shift work, and during Christmas time, they love chicken, tandoori chicken and biryani and kebab. So my good wife used to cook for me, and we used to have party during lunch hour, you know, and they love it. We get on well. It's like you scratch my back, I'll scratch you. I enjoyed it. Now I'm very happy in my retirement, but still I'm at the age of 72, I'm on my feet. I have any major illness, no sugar, no pressure or anything, no major illness. I like walking. And I'm very happy to look after my grandchildren. Between four boys, I have 17 grandchildren. 17 grandchildren. And they all are happy. They love us.
Tell me, are you still involved in the local community?
Not a great deal, because when you are reaching this age, also these days you have to run around a lot. Plus it's an age of computer and mobile and video technology. Now I like reading, but I'm not in this business, you know. I'm an old-fashioned orthodox person, still sticking to the old system, you know. I'm active, you know. I am still active myself.
Can I sort of briefly take you back, just for a few minutes, to your childhood?
Yeah.
Very briefly. You told me that you were one of, was it seven children?
Seven children, yeah.
Your father was a farmer.
Farmer, yeah.
Yeah. So you lived in a rural area.
We lived in a rural area, probably population of 10,000 people, and it has a muddy road and traditional farming land. My parents used to grow what do you call wheat, rice, paddy farms, you know, and cotton, we used to grow cotton. But after so many years, after few years, it didn't do very well to feed a family. No, and then this sugar cane business came up. There was a shortage of sugar everywhere, and government tried to encourage farmers to sow sugar cane, and they built sugar canes. We used to cultivate sugar and then supply to the sugar cane mills, and we had draw water from the well, that's by hand ropes, you know, bucket and hand ropes, and it was a very hard job.
Describe the house that you were brought up in.
We had a terrace house. We seven used to live in there, you know, and my mother and my two sisters, they were elder than me, and they used to go to school and help my mother in household matters, you know. But my elder sister used to do plenty needlework, you know. In those days, it was a common thing that a girl should be. It's the same in England. I found it. It's the same in England. Needlework, you know. People can't stitch a button these days. Now, in those days, they used to make clothes with needle and thread, you know. And my elder sister was very good in designing this, you know. She used to make pattern and flowers and then put coloring thread in it and for smashing. And she grew old and she got married, and she found a husband in Bombay. He was a very educated person, and she moved to there, you know. And it's the same way my another sister married to Pakistani, our Desai as well, and she moved there. So I was a young man, and I used to love cricket. I used to play cricket, and then I still love to watch and cricket, you know. I used to opening batsman, and I used to do wicket keeping as well, you know. And the house was a muddy. It wasn't a brick house, it was built by stone, and we have a large room plus kitchen. There was a partition sort of wardrobes, you know, that was a dividing from one room to another sort of thing, and we used to share whole family. We never had in those days, in my childhood, there wasn't water system. There was no electricity, no water system. So my father had one or two servants, and they used to bring water from the well. It was a hard, grueling job, you know. But it was a common thing. And then,
What did you use for light?
What did you?
For light.
We used to have kerosene lamp. As soon as in the evening it gets little darker, my mother and my sisters used to put it on for 3 or 4 kerosene lamp, and we used to hang it on the ceiling or on the wall, and it just gives enough light to about 10 feet or 15 feet around area, you know. So we had 3 or 4 like that. So there, one in the kitchen, one in the bathroom, and 1 or 2 in the hallway, you know. And it was a traditional slated roof, traditional slated roof. Then my father changed it into galvanized steel roof. Now we have knocked it down and we rebuild like modern English house or British way of life. So we have now moved it, demolished that house, and with the help of my two brothers, we built two bedroom house with WC and sitting room and kitchen and beautiful kitchen.
And who lives in it?
It's closed at the moment, but when we go for holidays, we built it for our
family. So the family owns
family.
The family.
Because we have a large family, my four sisters and three brothers. So whenever anyone goes for holidays, we go there and live there and go seeing the country. We took our children. In the last March, I was there, and it's nice. And children love them because in Indian houses, there was a no hygienic and sanitation system, you know. But now it's coming. They have tube well gone, electricity is now there, and water system is running in every household. So they are quite happy. There are now, I used to see a lot of ox and cows and buffaloes. Now it's gone, and now it took so like everywhere else, like in the world, everywhere else, it's gone, this animal, and the modern tempo, they call it, small trolleys, you know, and rickshaws, and now so many, Honda motorbike, plenty of Honda motorbike. Now in a town is so much change. They have concrete roads. They have English. They built beautiful English schools, and the education is all. We are helping poor and needy people for their education. I prefer to help children to bring education, because education is the main thing in this day and age. You require education, and we support them because education has become so costly. So we pay their fees, because we are a quite handful of people in our same village. So.
Could you also tell me a little bit about your mother?
My mother?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where was she born?
Yeah.
And you know, when
my,
is she?
My mother was, she was very small person. She was about 5 foot, considering my father. My father was 6 foot high, broad shoulder, big man, you know. And my mother was 5 foot, and she was very kind. Now, she, like any mother in old days, worked hard to bring us in the family, because seven children is not a joke to bring them up, you know. And in those days, when money was scarce, you know. Anyway, when I came to UK, I helped them financially, and my brother is also here, so we helped them. And in 1975, I called my parents here, and they never happy to come down here. Says, we are old, why do you calling there? Says, come down and have a look at this country. It's a beautiful country. You meet people here and come down. So they both came down here in 1975. But after coming in 1975, my father had a tumor cancer. And within 11 months, she passed away in old Royal Preston Hospital on Deepdale Road, and he is buried in this Preston Cemetery. So my mother was on her own.
How old was he when he died?
My father died at the age of 66. My mother was old, and he wasn't keeping good health, so we offered her to stay here because she will be on her own, and because all brother and sister were married and they were all abroad. So I insist her to stay with us and we will look after you and you stay with us. So he accepted it and stayed with us until 1979. She passed away in Preston, in Sarah Green Hospital. And she also buried into Preston Cemetery. 1989. And she passed away in 1989 and buried in this Preston Cemetery. So we have long root of to be a Prestonian. Mm. We have long root with India as well. So, but as I say, 60 years in India, in England, is longer than 21 years I spent in India. Now, if I go to India, there are hardly people of my age will be knowing me, because it's all strange. It's all strange because I belong to Preston. There is so much age gap now. Nobody knows me. And I had some old friends. I have to ask his children. I said, "Who are you? Who was your dad?" And he said, "My dad's name was that." So I have to. It's the gap of one or two generations now. So this is it. So I'm considering Asian British born, you know. And I'm quite happy. I'm quite happy. The way things are in Preston, quite happy. It's all, people like it or not, but always local authority, government, doing their best, considering resources. I'm quite happy. I'm happy. I'm prosperous in UK. I'm happy and prosperous in. I have been involved in celebrating, what was it? We celebrate 20.
Preston Guild.
Preston Guild. I was decorate our street and all. Yes, I was part of that family. Also in Frenchwood and Evernham area, there are so many Polish community lives in here. They were working with us in quarters as well. And still one or two Polish women around, they know us. And so Evernham area is populated with local people plus overseas like Polish and Ukrainian people, you know, they are still in here. And we all mix together, no problem. We can get on well with each other, no problem. And still schools our children goes to this Catholic school, and they are very friendly. Teacher is Mr. King is very friendly with our Preston Muslim mosque, you know. And it's quite good. And I'm very happy that they have demolished that church and changed it into a health center and a leisure center. It's very good. My children and my grandchildren are going there for indoor football, indoor games and fitness as well. Mm. So it's beautiful. It was a very big, huge place, and it was neglected for over the years, and they made the best use of it. Government funding, local resources and all that. I'm quite happy. I'm quite happy. The changes in Evernham is remarkable. Mm. Remarkable. and I'm glad that it deserved to be President City. Thank you.
Thank you.